Incoming transmission from the time scanner. Entertaining fellow time agents
stationed in the field,
working in secret
to maintain the integrity
of the space-time continuum. Broadcasting to you from
Time Crystal Omega
at the heat death of the universe. Here is your host, the Time Scanner. And this is the Infinite Now.
Welcome to the Infinite Now. Now, everything discussed in this show is as true as anything can be in this post-truth multiverse that we find ourselves in. Alternative facts may leak through from alternative timelines, making it hard to make sense of anything. Time travelers control the media waves, and propaganda from both sides of the causal war bombard us from all angles. Every minute of every day of our lives. Still, I do my very best to be honest with you. All the stories on the Infinite Now are thoroughly researched. All of the interviews are with actual citizens of actual space-time. And all of my opinions are my real, very strongly held positions. Despite the non-fictional nature of the Infinite Now, we seem to have somehow developed a following with fans in the scripted audio drama community. This isn't really surprising. Audio drama is one of the few forms of entertainment accessible through the transtemporal radios issued to time agents in the field. There's even a setting where if the temporal radio senses a time-bound civilian is within earshot, it will automatically switch away from top-secret time agent transmissions, and instead start to play era-appropriate audio fiction. Mid-20th century temporal radios might play an episode of Orson Welles' Mercury Theater. Or, for time agents of the 31st century, the radios might broadcast something from the Universal Encyclopedia of the Liminals' procedurally generated audio program known as Reality Revised. Through this process, many time agents have gotten hooked on audio fiction. And so now there's an overlapping audience for both informative time agent programs, such as my own, and purely mindless audio entertainment. As a result of this, I ended up doing an interview for a program called Radio Drama Revival, which typically interviews creators of such audio dramas. I thought it might be fun to play the interview that Radio Drama Revival did with me on this show so that you could hear it as well. Without any further introduction, here's David Reinstrom of 2016 Earth interviewing me, the Time Scanner, for an episode of Radio Drama Revival.
No feature today, folks, but a real treat of an interview. I have the privilege of talking to the Time Scanner himself, all the way from Time Crystal Omega at the heat death of the universe. From beyond time and beyond the stars, this is Radio Drama Revival. Hey, welcome to Radio Drama Revival, the podcast that showcases the diversity and vitality of modern audio fiction. I'm your host, David Reinstrom, and we have an unexpected delight today, friends, because out of the blue, I was invited to speak to a mysterious gentleman who calls himself the Time Scanner. What arcane mysteries, what devilish delights, what restaurant recommendations might this man furnish? Well, take a listen. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, of course. I was curious about how did you become a time agent specifically, and how does one become a time agent generally?
Who I was before I became a time agent is classified, unfortunately. It is vital to the survival of the space-time continuum that this information does not get out. However, time agents are recruited through a series of coincidences. For instance, what we're really looking for in a time agent is someone that's able to notice very subtle changes in their surroundings so that they would be able to recognize when they had slipped into an alternate timeline.
What do those look like?
What we tend to do is we have events that are, you might say, paranormal happen. And the more that you recognize these events, the more they will happen to you. You're chosen because you can recognize these things that would be invisible to people that have a narrower view of what is possible in the infinite omniverse. And so you may come across a ghost experience in your grandmother's attic. You may stumble across a crop circle. You may see something out of the corner of your eye while hiking in the woods that you can't quite explain. The more you recognize these things, the more you'll see. And eventually, if you recognize enough of them, you will be contacted.
By whom, is my question.
We have recruitment officers. This is not a very desirable job in the time agency. If you're in the field, you often want to be more active than recruiting, but it is an important job nonetheless.
You say that with a certain kind of bitterness. Did you have to go through a recruitment cycle? Did you have to work as a recruiter before you became a time agent of your caliber?
Oh, I would never do that. No. Oh, I would have nothing to do with recruiting. My role here is important, and that's why I've chosen to stay loosely associated with the Time Bureau.
What is your current relationship with the Time Bureau?
The Time Bureau has me locked up in the time crystal just outside of time for the safety of the space-time continuum. If I were to escape, they claim that it would have repercussions. So, for the time being, and it's been quite a while, when you're outside of time, it's hard to tell, but I would say it's been at least a couple thousand lifetimes. You know, you get a little bored. So, you know, I do my podcast. You know, that wouldn't be my main job, but things get kind of boring out past time, and I've done a bit of everything. I could be showing you the sweaters that I've knitted. I got pretty good after a while.
What do you use for fiber?
Great question. Those are brought to me by the pigeons.
Oh, okay.
There are portals that lead from Time Crystal Omega out to other timelines and different points in the space-time continuum, but they're small portals. The Time Bureau wanted to make sure that I couldn't escape. So we have an aviary with many portals arrayed around the outside, and the avian time agents are able to fly through there, and they can bring me back small things or deliver mail to me, but I can't quite fit out.
I don't think I realized the extent to which this was a carceral podcast. I had assumed this is more of a USO kind of deal.
I definitely try to increase morale to the troops. I think that's an important thing to do. But really, boredom is the main thing that keeps me doing it.
I was going to say, because it doesn't sound like, you know, you owe the Time Bureau anything.
No, I definitely do not. But I do believe there is a nugget of truth to what they're saying about me needing to stay here or, you know, the end of the space-time continuum, that sort of thing. So for the time being, I'll stick around.
Can you state with any clarity the nature of the reasons for your confinement, or is that classified?
Definitely classified. I'm sorry, David.
Okay. That's all right. What does Time Crystal Omega look like? To what extent have you been given authority to decorate it?
It's great. Yeah. I mean, it's mainly video screens and pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I put up some Christmas lights, and that gives it a nice little ambiance.
And the textile arts, right? I mean, tell me about the sweaters that you've been making.
I send them off. You can only wear so many sweaters.
Sure.
And sweaters aren't necessarily my aesthetic, but they make good gifts. My Aunt Beth loves her sweaters.
I assume it's quite chilly at the heat death of the universe.
Well, sealed within the time crystal, I can create any sort of atmosphere I want.
Oh, gotcha.
It's sort of a null field. So obviously, outside of the time crystal, time doesn't pass, but somehow the absolute zero temperature outside charges the time crystal and keeps it suspended outside of time. You'd have to ask the guys at the Time Bureau for the details.
So you are suspended in a moment outside of time. This is not time is linearly progressing outside the time crystal after the end of the heat death of the universe.
Correct. Yeah, it depends on your point of view. But from my point of view, time keeps going on and on and on. From the outside, I'm actually outside of time.
Did you get to witness the end of all things? Did you get to witness the last spark of energy winking out in the universe?
I've got the greatest hits of the universe on these video screens, and I've seen all of the important moments happen. The end of the universe was also among them. It's not my favorite, you know. I'm a big fan of the 1980s. There was some really great music happening then. You know, the other thing is that it happens slowly, so you have to watch it in extreme fast forward.
Sure. What do you most regret? We can come back to that.
That's okay. I can say that the details of my biggest regret are most likely also classified. But when you're a time agent, you're asked to do lots of things that are unethical, that stretch your ethics a bit. And I certainly have done some of those, and I certainly have lost people that are important to me as a result of those actions.
Perhaps a related question. What is your favorite dead civilization?
Ooh. Well, everyone always mentions Atlantis, right? And Atlantis was pretty great. That's sort of like when people ask someone what their favorite Muppet is. Mm-hmm. Usually they'll try to go for a really obscure Muppet. Like you'll say, Lou Zealand, the guy that throws the boomerang fish, right?
Sure.
But you know that in truth, they really liked Gonzo best, because Gonzo was the best of the weird Muppets, right? It's just that any Gonzo lover would then try to be even weirder than Gonzo.
Sure.
So I'm going to be completely honest here, and I'm going to say Atlantis.
All right. Tell me about Atlantis. Tell me about what it was like.
Atlantis wasn't drastically different from what you have there in... I'm sorry, David. What year did you say you're in?
2016.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's not drastically different than 2016. Again, it's another civilization on the decline. But the technology there was not based on electricity and on quantum mechanics. Oh, wait, you're not to quantum computers yet, are you? So instead of quantum computers or regular computers, their technology tended to be using parts of the brain that have now atrophied for your time. So there were lots of things that you might consider psychic powers. The internet is in some way an overcompensation for what they had back then. And you still have a vestigial part of their psychic internet that they had back at Atlantis, and that is called sleep. Don't you think it's odd that you have to shut down for one-third of your existence to recharge?
Yeah, that is very weird.
It totally baffles me that people in your time don't think about this more. And dreams... does it make sense that you have absurdist versions of reality running through your head while you shut down for 8 hours each night?
I mean, it always has to me. I just sort of thought of it as my brain processing events through metaphor.
This seems like brainwashing that your people don't think about this more. Obviously, This is one half of a technology that is now lost to time. Back in Atlantis, people shut down for the night to sleep, and when they did, they had a shared reality, basically like the internet. You could communicate with anyone else in the world, and even off-world. And through this, you could communicate important things, you could make deals with foreign leaders without having to wait for mail to transfer, because mail was very slow back then.
Sure.
So the next step for your time, you'll see it come in the future, this isn't a major spoiler, is that you're going to have modern technology in your time, computers that link to your brains while you sleep, so that this completes the cycle. It's much like the system that they had in ancient Atlantis. The difference, of course, is that in your dreams, you will now have corporate advertising.
Oh, great. So what period of Atlantis did you spend the most time in? Like High Lemurian, the Scythian Republic, the Order of the Black Kelp days? Like what part, what time period of Atlantis did you spend the most of your life in? What time period of Atlantis is your favorite?
The final days of Atlantis were definitely the best.
Really?
It was a sort of party. It was sort of like the Mardi Gras. Everyone knew it was ending, and they just cut loose. It's really a great time. I seriously recommend going once. Not more than once. It's a bit much. But if you've got a spring break coming up, head to the last days of Atlantis.
Tell me about your favorite Atlantean restaurant.
If you're going to Atlantis, you probably want to eat seafood.
Sure.
The chefs there, they had tens of thousands of years to perfect their craft. And they have species that, in your time, have been extinct for 10,000 years. You do have to be careful that the seafood that you eat is not from another psychic, super intelligent creature. For instance, the Architeuthis. The Architeuthis.
And you mean the giant squid when you say that?
Yes, exactly, the giant squid. You really want to be careful. You don't want to eat that. And sometimes it'll be mislabeled. Sometimes they'll just tell you that you're eating normal calamari. But when you ingest a psychic animal, it has a tendency to do things in the back of your mind. It has a tendency to wrap its metaphorical tentacles around your brain. And you may forget how to speak your native tongue. You may find yourself walking out into the ocean, never to return. But besides that, I would say go to Steve's Bar and Grill.
Okay.
And order anything on the menu.
Anything at all?
Anything.
Nothing to avoid at Steve's?
If you're going to order a Thracian nightmare, make sure that you order it on the rocks.
Okay.
And make sure that you stop at 3. Any more than that, and you never know where or when you will wake up.
Gotcha. What does art look like 10,000 years from now?
10,000 years in your future, art will be conceptual art. And I don't mean that in a Saul LeWitt way.
Okay.
I mean, we will have 4D printers that will be able to read your thoughts as you have them and will project them in living, moving matter in the room in which you are. In fact, we have these projectors everywhere in our society, on certain planets, so that walking down the street is the same as being inside of an art gallery. You'll see everything in your imagination come to life around you, and existence will be creating art. There will be no difference.
What does art look like 10 billion years from now?
10 billion years from where you stand, the art world is going through a bit of a dry spell.
Okay.
Everyone is kind of back to basics, sort of in caveman mode at that point. And so art is more or less scratching symbols on cave walls with bison bones. There's some simply wonderful work. I mean, don't get me wrong, if that's your thing.
Do they still have like wine and cheese nights on First Fridays in the caves? Because, I mean, I'll be real, I love art, but I'm mostly there for the snacks, like 80% there for the snacks.
Bison nuggets, seal cheese.
Does anything remain constant about people?
I don't believe there's such a thing as human nature. I think human nature is a scapegoat. It's an excuse for people not to strive to be better. However, you know, there are tendencies. All of reality has a sort of rhythm to it. There are beats that always happen in a person's life, in a civilization's life, that are repeated over and over again. It's not to say that you can't change the tune. It's not to say that you can't choose for yourself to live in a waltz instead of a punk rock number, right? But you can change your nature, and humankind can change its nature. It just takes a lot of will. It takes a lot of looking toward the future you want to create and doing that thing.
Do humans ever make contact with alien civilizations?
David, come on. You're already in contact with alien civilizations all around you.
Okay, tell me more.
It's not unlike that movie from the 1990s, Men in Black. There are alien civilizations everywhere. And the fact that you don't know about it means that you're not opening your eyes. Which means that, I'm sorry, David, you probably will not be contacted by a Time Bureau recruitment agent at any point in the near future.
That's fine. I'm not bitter. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty open.
Those that are open to the unusual will see it all around them. You will see UFOs above the mountains.
Yeah.
You'll see hidden messages projected on the moon. I can't believe people don't see those more often.
I mean, it's not like I'm talking to a space convict right now. Yeah. No, I guess I'm a pretty unobservant person just generally. That's fine.
I'm sure you could do better.
Thank you for that note. I accept that note. Would you say, from your vantage point at the heat death of the universe, that you have any kind of faith in human beings or other beings?
I would say it gets a little bleak being stuck inside the time crystal. Getting out a bit more, if I was able to leave, would certainly do more for my outlook. Also, the fact that, you know, from my point of view, reality's already come to a close. But new branches are always budding on the living organism that is the space-time continuum. Every time someone chooses to make a new path, chooses to change the world around them, a new timeline is created. They haven't all been said and done. And I see some really promising futures happen in the past.
What physically is keeping you in Time Crystal Omega?
Well, basically, I can't fit through the time portals that they created for the pigeons. And there's nowhere to go if I leave. I'll instantly freeze and my atoms will be vibrated to bits and spread to the farthest point in the infinite space-time.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this, Time Scanner. Do you like carrot cake?
David, I love carrot cake.
Cool. And Time Scanner, can you tell me the carrying capacity of a Time Bureau carrier pigeon?
Pigeon is more of an honorary term. We actually have birds of all sorts. And so I could certainly send a pelican your way if there was something heavier.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Are you sending me a carrot cake?
What? Maybe.
Oh my gosh, David, you're the best.
You're the best, Time Scanner.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really, really appreciate it. It definitely killed 45 minutes out of my infinite incarceration. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. Folks, that's all the time we have for today's show, but if you liked what you heard today, you know what to do. You can subscribe to my podcast, Radio Drama Revival, or follow me on Twitter at Radio Drama.
Thanks for tuning in, Time Agents. I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview as much as I enjoyed answering questions about myself. And to the radio drama fans who have found my show, I hope you're enjoying the infinite now, even though it takes place in the real world.
Ooh, yeah.
And listen, I hope I didn't disparage audio fiction earlier when I called it mindless entertainment. Fiction may not be factual, but it can carry truths. Truths chopped up and sweetened, almost unrecognizable. Like when you bite into a rich, moist, mildly spiced slice of carrot cake. And it no longer tastes anything like the root vegetables hidden within it.
Perfect.
Some concepts are difficult to get at through any means but fiction. We may not want philosophers to actually tie innocent people to trolley tracks and see which ones you'll kill, but discussing the stories about these scenarios is just as good, better. The Omniverse is made up of a nearly infinite selection of possible timelines. And so sometimes one person's biography is another person's thought experiment, and vice versa. Sometimes it's helpful to think of your own life as a useful fiction. What truths might the author of your life be trying to get at by putting you through all these trials, all this pain and isolation? What if you're the last thought experiment in the universe? Every possible scenario exhausted, except for this one, featuring you, alone, testing what the nature of reality is when there's only one mind left in existence. Just you. After all life has been extinguished from the universe except for yours, do you still exist? Are you corporeal at all? If you have nobody to be corporeal with? Without a physical companion to touch you or to be touched by you, how do you know that you have a body at all? Perhaps you're just a mind floating in infinite emptiness, imagining up a multiverse where anything and everything is possible. Maybe you are just a disembodied voice in the void. If a cake is delivered in the middle of the woods, and there's no one there to share it with you, did you still enjoy it?
This has been and will always be the infinite now. Transmission complete.
And now it's time for some credits, which are traditionally delivered in the form of lies. The music you're hearing now is by DJ Stranger Danger of Marvelous Oakland, California. You can find more of his music on SoundCloud. Music also by Psychic Mold. Not the artist, whose music you can find at psychicmold.bandcamp.com, but a literal chunk of Psychic Mold the Time Scanner picked up while hitchhiking. It wanted to go to Tulsa. Music also by Matthew Schoendorf, who can be found at matthewschoendorf.com or wherever Schoens are dorfed, which is, turns out, southeastern Michigan. Music also by Dr. Quandary, who can be found at drquandary.com. The good doctor would like to remind you that laughter is not the best medicine. Drugs are the best medicine. Music also by Alice Effect. You can find their work at aliceeffect.bandcamp.com. Now, as previously mentioned many times on this show, the Alice Effect is a symptom of time distillation, which is usually manifested in the form of horrific audio glitching. The voice of the Time Crystal interface is Esther Adair, who spends her days cracking open truths like sunbeams, and her evenings punching Nazis like the Golem of fucking Prague. The voice of the Time Scanner is Richard Penner, who contains within himself truths too beautiful to name, secrets too dangerous to whisper aloud, and your daily recommended value of art. If you like this interview with the Time Scanner, but you also want to know more about Richard Penner, check out our exclusive interview over at Radio Drama Revival. Your very own personalized fortune for tomorrow is this.
The cure for grief is motion. This is why your hands won't stop shaking, why your heart is trying to leap out of your chest, and why the walls are closing in on you.
Use that foreknowledge wisely, and thanks for listening. I feel like this is like a perfect blackmail tape, by the way.